Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. What's on your mind today? Give us a call right now, and let's talk about it. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, James writes this, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." And sometimes we sit and read that and think, wow, I must not be a righteous person because my prayers aren't powerful and they're not effective. And so how can I be like Elijah? How can I be like that guy who prayed for rain to stop? And we read all about this in 1 Kings. He prayed for rain to stop, and there was a drought, and then he prayed for rain to come, and rain came just as he prayed. How does that happen? How can my prayers be like that, be powerful and effective? Well, we've been talking about it all month. We've been talking about the importance of the Word of God, understanding that it's the story of Jesus, that it's interpreted for us by the teacher who lives within us, the Holy Spirit. It's seen clearly and sharply through the lens of the new covenant, through the covenant of grace. It's through all of that that we see that this Word of God is the truth of God. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, Richard, you talked about that as far as the Thessalonians were concerned. They received the Word of God as the Word of God.
Yes.
They didn't receive it as human wisdom or human intellect. They received it for what it was, the Word of God, the truth that saved them, that set them apart, that sanctified them. And so if we're going to have prayers that are powerful and effective, those prayers need to be tied to the Word of God, what Jesus is proclaiming to us. Now, there are many people that pray all sorts of things that have absolutely nothing to do with truth. Mm-hmm. If you're in Christ, you're a forgiven person, and yet forgiven people are praying for forgiveness. Lord, please forgive me. Well, that's not tied to truth.
Yeah.
Truth is, in Christ you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Are you in Christ? Well, then that's true. If you're in Christ, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. There's lots of people that pray, you know, Lord, send your Holy Spirit. We even have songs about that.
Oh, yeah.
Went to a church several weeks ago, and they had actually rewritten a phrase in that, and I'm like, yes, that's truth.
Yes.
Man, this is awesome. But we pray these things, and we wonder why nothing happens. Well, because it's not being prayed in accordance with truth. It's not connected. We're missing that connection. So instead of praying according to truth, praying in the Spirit, we're praying according to the flesh. Mm-hmm. We're praying according to our own feelings or preferences. And so we need to get back to what is true. And boy, if people would really understand this, I think they would actually see their prayers becoming powerful and effective. Don't you, Richard?
Yeah, they would. This is an issue that I have wrestled with personally for so long. And it's because, you know, when you go to some of these services or you read the books or hear the stories, it makes you feel like, well, am I missing out on something? And you tend to, your emotions tend to take over and you want, wow, man, I've got to do something. But if you stop and realize that you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you and he's renewing your mind, then if we would just stop talking and listen, we might hear what we should be praying about, and it would absolutely comport with what the Scripture says. It wouldn't be different. It wouldn't be other. It would be right in line with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the victory that is ours only in him. And that changes how you pray. It changes what you say. It changes how you approach God. It changes the results. Because if the Spirit is telling me to pray, I mean, you think about Elijah here that James talks about. Wow, he prayed and it stopped raining for 3 years. Could I do that? Wrong question.
Wrong question.
God did that.
Yes.
God had already planned that. He used Elijah to tell Ahab and Jezebel, this is what I'm going to do. And then he told Elijah to tell Ahab and Jezebel, now I'm going to bring the rain back. But you're going to be demonstrated that I am the one true God. If we would pray with that attitude, praying less than we pray now, praying more truthfully than we pray now, we would see things, I think, that we wouldn't believe. And yet, you don't have to think about, wow, is it going to be miraculous? The very fact that we're talking in the Spirit to the living God is a miracle of miracles. How is this possible?
Well, that's,
and yet it is.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, back to the story of Elijah, he didn't just dream this up,
no.
You know, out of bitterness or out of, hey, I'm going to get
well, even righteous indignation.
Yeah. Right, right. God told him. So God's word came to Elijah, and he simply prayed God's word back to God at the appropriate times, as far as the story goes. And so those prayers were powerful and effective because they were simply God's word being brought into reality. His plan was being executed, so to speak. So we have to realize that we need to be slow to speak, quick to hear, quick to listen. And when we are, we can actually hear what God is saying to us in the Word of God,
yes,
and then be able to pray that back to Him. And that's the power of prayer right there. It's not because we've come up with something and we want God to endorse that or rubber stamp it. It's because our minds and our hearts have figured out, have come into alignment with what God's will,
yes,
truly is for me and for us. And so we pray according to God's will. That's when these things become powerful and effective. Our prayers become powerful and effective because they are connected to the truth of the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful and effective. The Word of God does work. And so when we're praying the Word of God, we can expect for it to be powerful and effective in that situation.
It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. If it's shortly after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast. We'd love to hear from you. Love for you to be a part of it. The number 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. And friends, a quick reminder of the very special gift we have coming back to you as you make your January gift to support Basic Gospel. It's a CD series we've called It's All Yours, and this offer's over in a couple of 3 days now, so take advantage of it. It's our way of saying thanks to you for supporting this message of love, grace, and life in Jesus Christ. To make your January gift and receive your copy, click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, you can donate through basicgospel.net/Canada. And we hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to support Basic Gospel. That's the primary thing. We want to keep this message going, but we're going to say thanks by sending you this wonderful CD series. Well, guys, we had a call that came in off hours. Let's listen to this call.
Hi, guys. What do you think of what the Methodists are going to be doing here towards the end of February meeting on their changing the Bible views? Thanks. Bye.
Well, it's a great question. I grew up in the Methodist Church and came to Christ at a youth camp sponsored by First Methodist Church of Marietta, Georgia, and will always be grateful for that experience. One of my best friends is a pastor at a Methodist church. Tom wrote the foreword to my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And so this is something of great concern to me. Tom and I have talked about this on a number of occasions. And what this is, the One Church Plan, is a plan that a number of bishops have put together to address the way forward concerning human sexuality. And really, it's the question, are we going to bend our church policy to align with culture, or are we going to maintain our distinctives as a group that represents the gospel of Jesus Christ and the clear teaching of the Word of God? And so it's something that, you know, many different denominations have already kind of walked this path, and some have chosen to bend with the culture, and that's sad. Why is it sad? Well, here's why it's sad to me, is because you're taking away the cure for the problems of man.
Yeah.
You know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark. And yet God sent Jesus to correct that. He sent Jesus to take away our sins, to die in our place, so that we could be raised to walk in the newness of life. Well, if we keep bending with the culture and saying, hey, this is no longer sin, then we're stripping away the power of the cross to cure us, mm-hmm. To do what Jesus said it would do, and that's to take away our sins, to redeem us, to give us a place among those who are sanctified through faith in Jesus Christ. So we bend to the culture, we weaken the gospel, and pretty soon we totally diminish any aspect of the gospel.
Yeah, bending to the culture doesn't help the culture.
No.
It makes it worse.
Absolutely. The other aspect of this is, you know, it talks about that, you know, we all need to pick up our crosses and that sort of thing. So why should we say to one particular group, it's different for you? Everybody else needs to lay down their lives so that they can gain true life through faith in Jesus Christ, but not you.
Yeah.
And so it's if we maintain the biblical narrative, and we don't waver, we don't stray away from it, then we're all equal as far as God is concerned. And his gospel message applies to all of us. That cure, that solution, that new life that comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ is available to all of us. If we make exceptions to that truth, we bend to the culture, then what we're saying is you just keep doing your life. You just keep living spiritually dead. But we're going to put like a seal on it and say, that's okay. Well, here's the deal. Spiritual death will never be okay with God. Never, ever. His desire is for everyone to come to life through faith in Jesus Christ. And if we bend to the culture, then we're diminishing, mitigating that desire of God for each and every one of us. So my heart's prayer is that they walk away from that and say, hey, we're going to stick to what brung us here so far, and that's the clear teaching of the Word of God. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and an ascension of our Lord. Richard?
So if you want to know what to pray for in a situation like this, here's some of the things that the Bible says about it. We want to be able to pray for the leadership who is meeting, that they would have the courage to say plainly and clearly what the gospel is and why it's so important. If some of those leaders are lacking wisdom, according to James, we should pray that they receive that wisdom. They should be praying that they get wisdom. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in the Bible that is so positive about dealing with this kind of a situation, rather than us getting all nervous because it's a political thing or it's a social thing or whatever else. This is the Spirit of God who wants to wrestle through this problem, this decision, with these men who lead the church. And the Spirit will do that.
Absolutely.
We should come alongside them and help.
Yes, and what, you know, bending to the culture, we're saying the gospel isn't sufficient.
Yeah.
God's grace isn't sufficient, and we never want to go down that path.
No.
God's grace is sufficient to meet every need of the human heart.
Well, again, it's Basic Gospel. Thanks to everyone who contacts us to pose a question. This particular caller used the overnight system that's available 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742, and we hope you'll use it as well as the opportunity arises.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go and talk to Brad listening to us in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad.
Boy, sir, I'm glad to hear you're back.
Well, thank you, my friend.
One of the things I've been thinking about with this series is, especially today, you're talking about prayer. If many people in the Methodist Church, a lot of the other denominations would have been listening to Basic Gospel as long as I've listened, a lot of things would be much clearer in their mind. For the most part, a lot of them don't even understand what the gospel is. It may be hard to understand. But I guess what I really ask Michelle about was prayer. I haven't struggled with it, but I've always questioned prayer chains and people bombarding God's throne with the more people, the merrier. And spend so much time asking God for what he's already given us. Can you all comment on that, please?
Well, sure, Brad, and it's a great question. And certainly prayer chains are things that many people have participated in. Sometimes they're very valuable. You're expressing love for a person that's going through something. And so that's a powerful statement that you're making to that person. You know,
yes.
We're joining together to pray for your situation, and we're trusting the Lord to bring about his will, his desires in this particular situation. And that can bring some great comfort to the individual. Sometimes these, as human nature would bend and twist them. They become gossip chains. Did you hear about so and so? I guess we need to pray for him. But the real purpose of the chain or different people participating in it is not to show love and concern for the person that's affected. But to be a person that gossips, that spreads some information, and that's never good. The second aspect of it is we think God will only hear us if there are great numbers. That one person praying on behalf of another individual isn't good enough. How will God even hear that prayer? I mean, there's so many being offered up. How will that, stand above all the others coming in? So we think, hey, we need to amplify the signal, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
We need to raise the platform so that God will take notice of our prayers for this particular person. So what we're trying to do is elevate that need above all others so that God will take notice of that and do something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a backwards view. With social media and all of those sort of things, we need to do that to get noticed on those platforms, but we don't need to project that onto God. One person praying a prayer is going to be heard by God. That is the miracle. That is just astounding. I mean, it just boggles the mind to think that God is actually concerned enough that he would listen to little old me. Just little old me lives in Hickory Creek, Texas, in the midst of 7 billion other people who live on this planet, that God, by his grace, would listen to me. And yet that's true. And boy, we need to have confidence in that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have assurance that indeed is the truth. And then we won't try, hey, I know my prayer's not going to be effective, so if I can get 1,000 other people, then maybe it'll give it a chance.
Now somebody here should have a connection.
Yes, yes.
We all have a connection.
That's exactly right. you know, some people will look at the pastor or the minister and, well, you pray for us, as if the pastor or minister has a hotline to God. Well, no, we've all been given the same access through faith in Jesus Christ. So if that's true, then let's take advantage of it. Let's access him. Let's go to the throne and talk to him as often as we can. Let those prayers be connected to the truth of God's word, and then just leave it in the hands of God. Leave the results of that in his hands. So, yeah. No, we don't need to try to get our prayers noticed. God takes notice just because he loves us and cares for us that much.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Brad, good to hear from you as always, my friend. And friends, want to remind you, Basic Gospel has an online store filled with excellent resources to aid your understanding of the new covenant in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find it all under the Resources tab or drop-down menu at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. And I do want to mention this great offer that we have. It's all yours, a teaching through the book of Hebrews. Richard and I did it. If you really want to know what the Christian life is all about and exactly what Jesus Christ has accomplished for you and his desired goal for you, then this is the resource. I think it'll just blow your mind to see the depths of God's love expressed in this powerful, powerful book called the Book of Hebrews. So yeah. Don't miss out on this great offer, and it's yours as our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel. And we certainly need to hear from our listeners, our supporters. If you haven't renewed your support for Basic Gospel, we're asking you to do so by the end of this month. We would greatly appreciate that. Yeah. That will help us really take a look at what this future of this year is going to be all about. So please renew your support. If you've never made a contribution to Basic Gospel, we're asking you to do so before the end of the month and say, hey, I want to partner with you. I want to help to get this good news out to as many people as possible. I want to help you tell the story of Jesus as often as you can to as many people as you can.
And the end of the month, of course, is just this Thursday.
That's right.
I can't
believe
right.
It. So wow. Act today, folks. Act today.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. I'll be quick. I love the song Star of Wonder, and it talks about westward leading, still proceeding, but yet his star is in the east, yet I know it's in a circle. Is it a pagan song, or?
Well, Mary Jo, I think it's just a song with some lyrics that are to really help us be in awe of the whole Christmas event.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of look at that, you realize there's a lot of Christmas songs that don't actually line up with what the real Christmas story is. So just like with everything, you have to take those lyrics, bounce them off the Word of God to see if they match up.
In this case, if the star was in the east and it was leading them, to the west.
Right,
that's
because
why
they
says,
came
what,
from
that's why
further
it says
east.
Westward leading.
Yes, so. Yes. Well, Mary Jo, we're out of time. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. You always ask good, thoughtful questions, so thank you.
Yes, indeed. Song Analytics, a new venue for Basic Gospel. That's good.
Yes, yes.
Friends, want to remind you, we're streaming live video every day into the studio here through Facebook and YouTube. We hope you'll join that growing throng that tune in that way every day. And remember, too, that this ministry, as Bob was saying, is listener-supported. If what you've heard on Basic Gospel has made a difference in your life and your understanding of the gospel of the new covenant, well, please stand with us to help keep it going. Click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, as always, basicgospel.net/Canada. Keep in mind, too, that our listener line is always open, as the first caller on the broadcast today took advantage of it. If a question pops up later today or overnight, voicemail us at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. A great way to get that question to us. We'd love to hear from you. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.